My aim is for us to be kind of work through until 9 o'clock. If it goes a little bit over, let's just have... So when it comes to writing a preach, I know exactly how many words to write in order to film the amount of time it takes to preach. But this, I've got no idea. So I've just kind of put some stuff down and I've made some slides and we'll see how it goes.
Excellent.
And then ideally, once this week's gone, I'll have a better idea of what
so
the future...
Ah,
yes. So, well... We'll see how it goes. Yes, we shall see. Yes. All right. Before we start, does someone? Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah.
This is not a, you know, boost John's ego day. I mean, I'll never. Oh, that's it. Just say it again.
Next time again.
That's funny. We're recording just so that for those who aren't here. Can pick it up. So if you do miss a week, we'll record it, and then you don't miss anything. Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, welcome to Preaching 101, which is what I've decided to call it. I could have gone with homiletics, the art of preaching, because that's the fancy term for preaching, homiletics. Exactly. But I didn't want you to get, you know, your expectations too high. We're going with the basics, 101. So that's kind of the level that we're aiming at, but we'll see how we get on. But before we crack on, I put it in the chat, so I just want you to each say your name and why you're here. What do you hope to get from the course? And we'll do that as a warm-up for the final weeks when you all get to stand up the front and preach to us. Okay, so this is a nice, easy start. Your name and what do you hope to get from the course? Shall we start with you, David, and we'll work down. Good, good. All right, so lots of different reasons. Fantastic. And I think that's the truth. There are a whole heap of reasons why anyone would come to something like this, whether it's, you know, you're looking to be on the platform and preaching, or, you know, you're doing podcasts, or you're speaking to colleagues at work, or whatever it might be. Hopefully, as we go through this course, we'll get to a place where we all feel a little bit more confident when it comes to speaking to whoever about Jesus. That's the main aim, I think, that we can get to that place. Yeah? And I will say from the outset, and I said it when we started to plug, this course is not a pathway to get to the platform. So there's no guarantee that you will be standing on a Sunday preaching to the congregation. And that's not to say that if you don't meet my standards or whatever, that you were, it's not about that. There's a whole bunch of stuff that plays into getting to be on the platform and preaching. And I just want to make sure that we're all kind of clear from the outset that that's not the reason why we're doing this course, to create and generate more preachers. It's just we thought it'd be good to explore different things, the prophecy, preaching, depths of the Bible, and learn a new skill, possibly, and just grow and develop ourselves. That's really important to us. So that's the reason why we're doing it. And then ultimately, like I've said, give it a go at the end in a safe environment. You know, you're not speaking to 50, you're speaking to 8, 10 people, and it's hopefully feels a little bit safer. So we're going to do about 10 minutes-ish,
okay.
Give or take,
okay.
Like a Fab 3 preach would be.
That's it.
So this is, for now, what I think our course is going to look like. So you do. So as we begin the course, this is how it will look. If it still looks like this when we get to the end, then that would be great, but it might change as we go. We'll see. So this is the plan as it stands today. It might change. So today we're going to look at why do we preach and different styles of preaching. Then next week we'll look at preaching like Jesus. Then we'll come to 20 rules for preaching, and then we'll move on to the more practical stuff, preparing and constructing a message, delivering a message. And then, so I think from memory, we'll be doing 5 weeks. Then we have a break where we're going to have a deeper worship and prayer night. And then we'll be back the week after. And those following 3 weeks will be over to you guys. And you'll be preaching. So it'll be very similar to a Fab 3 Sunday. You'll get 10 minutes ish each, doesn't matter if you go a couple of minutes over or under, and you'll get instant feedback. So it's a little bit daunting, but I thought as I was preparing the message, as I was preparing this, sorry, it would only be fair for me to put myself through what I'm asking you to go through. So what I'll do is I'm going to create a preaching feedback form, and on the delivery week we'll talk about what that looks like and we'll dish out the forms. And then on the week before week six, you can all sit in church on Sunday with your feedback forms and be critiquing my message. And so we'll start week six with live feedback from you guys about my message, and then it'll be over to you and we'll critique you. But we're going to do it in a gracious way. We talk about the poo sandwich method. So you start by something nice, then you give some constructive criticism, and then you end with something nice. So there should never be a moment where you're standing up here feeling super anxious that you're going to just get ripped to shreds, because that's not what this is about. It's about building each other up, encouraging one another. And so that's the kind of hope and vision for that. You are actually very fortunate. My father-in-law runs a preaching course, and he puts these bits here. So you would be straight away week one, two, three, preaching, and then he'd be doing the teaching. And I was like, seems a bit backwards. Yeah. So we'll do it the other way. So you're in a good place. All right. And then before we get into kind of the proper week one, I want to speak just to the women. It's interesting that it's 50% of you here are female, which is amazing. But what we shouldn't do is ignore the fact that women preachers and teachers is a contentious issue in the church. And so I personally have absolutely no problem. In fact, I am very much for women preachers and teachers in the church. But that can't be the reason that you accept it. You as women have to accept that this is a contentious issue, that there are different sides of this argument. You have to read the controversial passages of scripture and come to your own position where you can stand here and say, I am confident that this is okay for me to do. And if you study the scriptures and get to a place where you aren't confident in it, don't do it, because then you'll be disobeying your understanding of the word of God. But don't just accept it because I accept it or because other men accept it. Get to a place where you're confident that this is okay. So I was introduced this week to this theme of think, pair, share, which is apparently something they do at school, where they think about a question and then in pairs they chat through something and then they share it with the group. And so I was like, I'm stealing that for this course. It sounds like a great principle for having conversations. So I'm conscious that we've taken a long time on the intro. So let's just do a very quick think, pair, share around the question, why do we preach? Okay. Anyone want to share? We won't all share, but anyone got any thoughts on why do we preach?
It's a commission.
It's a commission? Yeah.
To deliver God's word to people.
Yeah, deliver God's word to people. Yeah. Any other thoughts?
Jesus did it,
absolutely.
Evangelize.
To evangelize? Absolutely. A whole bunch of great reasons that are very, true. The reality is that the way that God creates, the God calls together, challenges, changes his church is through his word. And so preaching the word of God in whatever format that looks like, whether that's preaching from a platform or speaking to your colleagues or writing devotionals or whatever it might be, that's how God does it. He does it through his word and he moves through his spirit in that sense. And what I think is really interesting is that God gave us his word, the infallible word of God. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says that all scripture is God-breathed. In fact, in week one of the Bible course that the other guys are doing, it talks about this. And so God gave us his word that is infallible. And so some might say, well, why do we need to preach? Because we've got the perfect word of God right here in our hands. And yet, for whatever reason, God chooses people to be the vessel to share the good news. And it just, I don't know, it blows my mind that actually he chooses fallible people to preach the infallible word. And so the Bible is just amazing. And yeah, for whatever reason, God's plan is that people would be saved, not just through reading the word, but through hearing the word. And so God's plan is that we would be inspired and encouraged and humbled and thrilled by the things of God, which we see moving and we see brought to life through Spirit-filled preaching and Spirit-filled teaching and evangelizing. And so the truth is that preaching has the power to awaken new affections for God. It's got such power behind it. I just think it's mind-blowing that God chooses to use someone like me, an idiot at times, you know, straight D's at A-levels, not particularly educated, and yet he uses people like me to bring the word of God. It's just amazing, isn't it? You know, God is incredible. Well, yeah, absolutely. And I think that's it. We all bring something to the table, no matter what our experience and our background is. In 1 Corinthians 1, 21, it says, "Since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe." Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
All right, so why do we preach? There's lots of reasons. To begin with, I've pointed two reasons, which should be in your notes. The first one is we have good news. Romans 10 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." And so the only way that people will hear the good news of Jesus is if someone preaches it. The only way they'll hear is if someone preaches it. And so we've got good news. So we shouldn't keep it to ourselves. We can't just be like, yes, I've received this thing. It's amazing. God's changed my life. I'm going to keep it to myself. It's good news. And so we need to share it. Not only is it good news, it's also important news. And that's the reality of this message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That it's not just good news, but it's important news. It is literally the difference between life and death. Yeah. It's literally the difference between life and death. And when you preach the word of God, or you hear the word of God preached, or you read a devotional, or you listen to a podcast, or whatever it might be, your life is changed. The Holy Spirit uses those who share the word of God to change us and mold us and shape us and turn us more and more into his likeness. So we've got good news and we've got important news. But then I just wanted to kind of dig into this why question a little bit further. It says in 2 Timothy 4 verses 1 and 2, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." Now, this passage is often read and spoken over new preachers as they're being ordained. This is kind of a charge that's given to them. This is your calling, like you were saying, Peter, to go into the world and to bring this message. But as you read this passage, there are six different elements that we can kind of learn from this scripture. And the first one is be ready. It says be ready in season and out of season. And so that phrase literally means to be on standby, like poised and ready to go. Not kind of just at the back, just still scribbling down your notes and trying to get things in order, but actually being ready to go, like a coiled spring for that opportunity to come. In season and out of season. You know, it's interesting as a preacher that there are sometimes Sundays where I really don't want to preach. And, you know, I might be coming to church just feeling like, I don't know whether it's because I've had a terrible week or I woke up the wrong side of bed or whatever it might be. And I arrive at church on Sunday and I'm like, oh, I just don't want to do this, but it's my job. And so I've got to do it. But the Bible says in season and out of season. So it's not just when I feel like it, just when I'm pumped and excited. It's every time, even if I've had a massive argument with the kids or with Ruth before we walk through the door of church and we're just all stressed out or whatever. It doesn't matter what has gone on, we've got to be ready. And depending on, you know, your context and where this course will take you, there will undoubtedly be moments where you don't want to share about Jesus. So let's say you're in a work environment and your colleague says to you, oh, what did you do this weekend? And so you've got two options there, haven't you? You could either say, I went to church, and tell them a little bit about what happened on Sunday and how God inspired you. And then knowing that that will then lead to further conversations and maybe some questions or maybe some judgment or maybe some criticism. Or you could just be like, I don't want to get into this right now. Yeah, I just watched a bit of football on the telly, had an early night, it was fine. How about you? And just kind of skirt the issue. So there's a whole spectrum of situations where we will have the chance to share about Jesus. And we get to choose whether we do or not. But the scriptures say, be ready. Be ready. And the second one is reprove or convince or correct. And so this word is not like a calling out or pointing the finger action. It's that preaching the word of truth has the power to convict people of their sins. And so when we preach the word of God and we share the good news of Jesus, it will organically convict people of their sins. And I think that's just coming back to what I just said, is in those conversations with colleagues or friends or whatever, when they kind of get their back up a bit because you start to talk about church, it's often because they're already recognizing some behaviors in their life that aren't quite right. Exactly. That's it. That's right. It's not my job to point at you and go, you're doing this.
But you might not know that person that well, so you won't know what things he or she has done.
Exactly. That's it. But the Holy Spirit will do it through us as we bring the good news of Jesus.
But they don't get offended at the Holy Spirit, they get offended.
Well, that's the issue, isn't it? It's the one who brings the word that gets the kickback. But, you know, in season and out of season, we're called to do it all the time. That's it, absolutely. So the third one from that passage is rebuke. And now this is a fun one. So if I'm preaching a message on a Sunday and I'm preaching about pride, you know, we talked on humility, didn't we? The last 2 weeks, humility came up. Now, would it be appropriate for me to stand there on a Sunday on the platform and find the person who I know is really struggling with pride and a lack of humility? And as I'm preaching this, I'm pointing my finger at them and I'm staring them straight in the eyes saying, have you got this? This message is for you. Or do I just preach the word of God and let it do the work? Do I just allow it to do the work for me? And that's exactly it. Well, that's true. That's it. And I'll often find that after a message on a Sunday, some people might come up to me and go, how did you know? Or it felt like you were speaking directly to me and I didn't know their situation. But that's the Holy Spirit doing something, and it's amazing when he does that. But the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. So we don't need to be pointing our finger and calling things out in people. We just preach the truth and let that do the work for us. Exhort is another thing that it talks about in this scripture. That's kind of a picture of coming alongside someone. It's of putting a hand on someone's shoulder, of encouraging them, supporting them, letting them know that there is hope. So not only does the word of God challenge and convict, it also encourages and builds hope. And then the scripture also goes on. It says all these things, and then it says, do it with complete patience. And that can be a challenge. It literally means to have a long fuse. So we can't get frustrated at the lack of response. And I think that can sometimes be where we're at. Well, yeah. Just walk down and give them a nudge. It does happen, but even on a one-to-one basis, you know, you're sharing the good news of Jesus, and you know we talked about it being a matter of life and death, and you're talking to someone about God and the things of God, and yet they're like, meh, and not really interested. And so something within you goes, no, I just want to shake you until you get the truth. But this word of God says we've got to be patient. We've got to allow God to do the work and not to bash them with the Bible and get them there. Our job is to preach the good news, and it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict. And so it can be difficult when we don't see a response, or when we don't get the response that we want to get, or see any, you know, visible change in their lives. But we've got to be accepting, we've got to be tolerant, we've got to be patient. 1 Corinthians says, love is patient, and we are to love others, aren't we? And so we've got to do that with patience as well. And then the final thing from that passage in 2 Timothy says with teaching as well. And so that comes down to, strong biblical theology and doctrine, sound teaching. It's an impartation of beliefs and ideals, and doing it with clarity and doing it with understanding, not just winging it, but actually having some depth of study that's gone kind of behind the scenes, getting to a place where you can speak with confidence. It's about discipleship as well. All right, so just a few other thoughts on this question of why before we move on. So the first one I've said here is to reveal God. And so when we preach, our aim is to reveal God. It's to share Jesus with other people through the words that we say, his love, his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, his kindness, his wisdom, and his plans ultimately for the lives of those who are listening to us in whatever context that is. And so we do that by unpacking God's word, by taking what is quite a complex book and can have some real difficult passages in it, and actually unpacking it for people, trying to make it accessible for them so that they can understand it a little bit better. Because it's in the Bible that we discover the story of God, his character, his nature, his mission, his passion. And so as we speak, as we share the good news of Jesus in whatever format that looks like, we want to be bringing the revelation of who God is. We want to be demonstrating who he is by the words that we're saying, as well as by our actions. And not necessarily to add information to them as well. You know, that's kind of where the teaching element comes in. But the difference between teaching and preaching, I suppose, is less about information and more about revelation. And there's absolutely benefit and purpose for both. And you can even have a blend of that on a Sunday, and that's absolutely fine. But the key goal, I suppose, for preaching is about getting the revelation, that actually they're getting kind of impartation of the character of God and who he is. So we want to reveal who he is when we speak. And there's also an importance in the power of the word. The Bible, the word of God, is powerful. You know, we've talked about it, haven't we? That it is sharper than a two-edged sword. It in itself, on its own, has power. You wield this power when you preach the gospel. And so ultimately, as we preach, as we share the good news, as we speak about God in whatever context that is, ultimately we want to see lives changed. And so we want to reflect who God is. We want to understand and unravel how he wants us to live. And to help us do that in his word, he's given us the model of Jesus. And so we'll come on to that in a couple of weeks when we look at, or next week, when we look at preaching like Jesus. We may as well take the model of the one who went before us and see how he did it. And then we can use that as a framework for preaching. He gives us the equipping of his spirit. We can't do this on our own, nor should we. We've got to have the Holy Spirit within us in order to do this. And then he gave us the instruction of his word, this powerful book. In Hebrews 4, verse 12, we've already said it, but I'll read it again in a different translation. For the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. I love that. There's such power in God's word that it really can get to the root of people's issues. It can expose the darkness in their lives as we bring the light of God and shine it on them. And so there is such power in God's word. And not only is there power in his word, but there is also power in words. God's word has got power, but our words have power too, for good and for bad. And that's the balance here. That actually when we are in a position, whether it's on the platform on a Sunday or it's speaking one-on-one to a friend, our words have real power. And so we need to be really mindful of what it is that we're saying and how it is that we're saying it, so that we're not tearing down and destroying people, but that we're loving on them and we're building them up. So here's another think, pair, share moment. Can you think of an example in the Bible where we see words of power in action, both positively and negatively? So just have a quick think in your pairs about examples in Scripture where we see the power of words. Any examples of positive words in Scripture? Creation. Absolutely, a great example of powerful words. Power of negativity, yeah, it's true. Yeah, good. The serpent in the Garden of Eden speaking lies. That's it. We do just need to be so careful with our words and what we're saying and how we say it. I mean, I'm sure we can all think of an encouragement that we've received and how that made us feel, and a criticism that we've received and how that made us feel. And so I think any time that we are sharing the gospel of Jesus, in whatever format that looks, we need to be mindful of what we're saying and how we're saying it, so that we are building up and not tearing down. And I think the truth is that the world we live in is filled with lies and half-truths. But it's Jesus that has got the whole truth. It's Jesus' words that are filled with eternal life. And so as communicators, it's our privilege and it's our responsibility to bring words of power and of truth and of life to those who need to hear it. It's genuinely just a really important role. Like Peter was saying, for some it's a calling in that sense, and that's because there's such a weight to sharing it. But it's all of our jobs to share the good news of Jesus. So there's this kind of balance to it, I suppose. But preaching is less about beautiful words and how people feel in the moment, and it's more about whether the speaker is able to, by the power of the Holy Spirit, change the way people think and feel. If someone hears the word of God and isn't challenged and changed a bit, then have we shared it effectively? And that's not to say that if you speak the good news of Jesus to someone and you don't see that change, that there's a problem. And that's where the balance comes, because we may never know the impact that comes from sharing his news, but we just need to do it with obedience and with faith and an understanding of the power of his word. Good preaching should not only cause people to think and feel differently, but to live differently as a result of what they hear. And that's always my purpose when I bring a message on a Sunday, is to ask the question, so what? You know, I can preach a message about a theme, or I can preach through a passage of scripture, but if I don't answer the question, so what do the hearers need to do about this? How do they respond? Then there's no point in me waffling on for half an hour about a subject. There's got to be something to take away and to wrestle with and to change and transform us all as we listen to the word. I've got another quick think here. Can you think of a talk that caused a change in you or helped you to live differently, and what made it so effective? We'll just do it sharing all together rather than talking. Can you think of any specific talk that you've ever heard in your life? It doesn't need to be a preach, it could be anything. Yeah. Some really interesting, not just the lessons that we can learn from these talks, but actually the why behind it, so the passion and the personal relationship with God and the practical demonstration, actually these are all things that we can then use down the line when it comes to bringing a message. Because, you know, practical examples like that stick in people's minds. You know, I mean, if I really stop and think about writing a sermon and the likelihood of someone remembering what I've said, it's a little bit heartbreaking when you spend 2 days writing a message for a Sunday and you could ask someone on the Monday, what did I speak on? And they probably wouldn't remember it. And that's the reality of it. And it's okay, I've come to terms with it. But when you throw in a practical example, that sticks. Or a catchy phrase, as, you know, as cliche as it sometimes is, it sticks. And it's just kind of getting those things, those hooks. That's it, isn't it? It's those nuggets that stick and help, you know. So you might not remember the whole message, but as long as you've got something from it that helps it stick. So it's something to be thinking about as we kind of move down the line. All right, let's move on to a definition of preaching. It's taken from the Greek word kerusso, which means to proclaim or to declare, to announce or to herald a message. And then the person is called a kerux, the spokesperson or the herald of the king, the representative of the king. We talked about this in church a few weeks back, I think, about this role and responsibility of the spokesperson or the herald for the king. And the thing about the role of the herald is that they've got access, direct access to the king. And so the role of this servant is to literally be in close proximity with the king and to be able to receive that message and to have the freedom to ask questions and to really dig into it so that they make sure, okay, I've not quite got what it is that you're saying there, just unpack that, okay, right, I've got it now. And then they can go to the people and share the message. And again, it comes back to, it's not just passing on information, but it's passing on revelation. Because you can stand in front of a crowd of people and read a message from the king, but if you've not got the passion, because you've not caught the heart behind it, then it won't stick. Or if you've not kind of dug into the kind of whys and wherefores of it, then you might misunderstand it and so share it in the wrong way. And so our job as heralds is to understand we've got direct access to the king, which is amazing, that we've got the freedom to go to God and say, I've just not quite got this. Let's just spend a bit more time unpacking this and making sure I'm absolutely clear on what you're saying here before I share this message. And we've got that freedom to ask those questions and to seek the clarity, which I think is just so powerful. And that it's not just about sharing information, but it's about the heart, it's about the passion, it's about the enthusiasm and the sentiment behind it all. And so that is it. I've skipped ahead of myself a little bit, but what does it mean for us? We're representatives of the King of Kings. So we are the kerux, the herald. It's our job to share this good news, but to do it with the depth of understanding from spending time in God's word, digging into what it is that he's speaking and he's saying. And so the key point is this, like I've written up on here. It's absolutely essential that we spend time in God's presence so we can hear his word and capture his heart. And as believers, we do just have this incredible privilege, and we should never take it for granted that we've got this incredible privilege of being able to come to the throne room of God and sit at his feet and hear from him and talk with him and share with him. And he's inviting us in. He's inviting us into his presence that we can just spend time soaking up everything that he's got to say. So never forget that we possess that position of great privilege. And here's the thing, before we kind of get into the theory of stuff and that kind of detail or even any practical stuff, everything begins with our own personal relationship with God. That is the beginning of it all. We can't do any of it. Like Yvonne shared a moment ago, and Michael, you said it right at the beginning, we've got to spend time with God. We've got to strengthen our relationship with God Otherwise, we're not going to have anything to give. We can't give what we've not already received, because if I've got, you know, 10 pieces of revelation and I give them out, and then, well, I've got nothing left. And so, well, I don't know, I need to go back to God and get some more so that I can share it. But wouldn't it be great if I've just got this continuous influx of revelation from God, so I can just be going, yep, wow, amazing, just keep it coming, and we can just be this kind of conduit for delivering the message of God to the people around us. And so our time with God, our personal time with God, is the foundation for everything that we share. And for me as a preacher who's preaching, you know, 3 out of 4 weeks on a Sunday, the real challenge for me is to not let my personal devotion be the same as my preaching study. And that's really hard to balance. And I'll be totally honest with this, that almost every time I'm reading the Bible or I'm listening to some teaching from someone else, whilst that is the time I've designated to me being at the throne, you know, at the feet of Jesus and receiving from him, I'm also going, oh, that's really good. And I'm making notes and, oh, I could definitely preach on that. And so my mind is always going to work, essentially. But the important thing is that I just go, no, I'm just going to be in the presence of God. And I'm just going to receive from him. And so that's a challenge for all of us, that actually it's more important that we be with God. It's like Mary and Martha, isn't it? That we sit at his feet rather than thinking about, oh, how can I use this? And yes, we do have to do that as well. But it's more important that we sit at the feet of Jesus and receive from him, because if we've not done that, we'll have nothing to give. And so there's a real challenge and a balance there. So I want, and I'm sure you all do, but commit to a daily routine of spending time in God's presence. Not with the thought of how can I use this, but simply being in his presence. All right, so with that in mind, before we just move on to the very short kind of end bit on styles of preaching, I thought it would be good to just spend time in our pairs praying for each other. So we're just going to spend 5 minutes in the presence of God. So not necessarily, I pray that you get some revelation that you can share at the, you know, week 6, 7, and 8, but just growing and developing our personal relationship with God. So can we do that for just a few minutes? So just in your pairs, just pray for one another. All right, really good. It's so important that we do that. And I think, you know, as we support one another, as we grow in our personal relationships with God, then that will give us the revelation that we can then share to other people. So let's not underestimate or forget the importance of our time with God. I've just realised it's almost just preaching 10 over there. It's hanging off the edge. All right, let's just quickly, we've got 15 minutes. We'll go through some thoughts on styles of preaching. So the fancy word is exegesis, which is the process of analysing, interpreting the Bible and understanding its intended meaning. Exegesis. So exegesis will be the work that goes behind any message. It's the studying, it's the reading commentaries, it's the soaking in God's presence around a passage or a theme. It's all of that stuff that helps us to unpack and unravel God's word. So just thinking about styles of preaching, and you can probably come up with a whole bunch of styles, but they pretty much all fall into two categories. And the first one is expository. Shall I leave it for a little bit more? I don't want you to... Did I not put this on a slide? I apologise. It is quite small. I didn't realise until I'd printed it out how tiny it was. I can send these out if we want. I can always send things out on an email if that makes life easier for everyone.
Absolutely. No way, me ever read.
Get your magnifying glass out. So the first style of preaching is expository, and that word expose is about uncovering something, it's about helping people to see it. And so what expository preaching looks like is choosing a passage of scripture or a book of the Bible and just spending some time, verse by verse, explaining what it means. So we've just gone through Romans, and whilst, and this is kind of where we'll get to at the end of this section, is that whilst we looked at a book of the Bible, and each week we were kind of looking at a bit of each chapter, there was also a theme that went with it. And so it's kind of a blend of the two types of preaching. But essentially what we mostly did throughout that series was go verse by verse and really unpack what it meant in the context of where it sits. And so it comes kind of right back to where we began, that if this is the inspired word of God and we believe that it's powerful and we believe that he's given it to us as a gift, then we should kind of just let it do its own thing rather than putting our own agenda on it or kind of trying to shoehorn it into something. That actually if we just go, okay, here's a scripture, let me just tell you a little bit about what the depths behind that is, and that's where the exegesis work comes in. That's the your personal study and research. And so you can stand on the platform on a Sunday or before us or whatever and say, okay, here's a verse of scripture. Let me just tell you maybe some depths about it that you didn't know from just reading it. And that's kind of what expository preaching is about. Because if we believe God's spoken and still speaks through his word, then let's let him. Kind of almost get out of the way a little bit and let the word of God do its own thing. And so there's some benefits to this type of preaching. It helps people become more familiar with the word of God as you kind of slowly work through the scriptures. And it's really important that you look at it in context and you look at it within the culture and the time that it was written. So when you're reading a passage, you explain or ask yourself the question, what would the original hearers of this word or readers of this word be understanding from this? That's a really good place to start. And so that's why in scripture we often see a lot of agricultural themes, because they would have understood that. But perhaps today agriculture, you know, for our church isn't a great kind of analogy to be using. There's no farmers in the church that I know of. And so maybe what we need to do is go, okay, so here's what Jesus said, for example, and here's the analogy that he used. But what we could do is say it like this and bring something that's perhaps a little bit more relevant to the people that we're speaking to. But we need to make sure that we first understand what the hearers would have heard before we can then unpack it a little bit more for our hearers. Hopefully that makes some sense. So I just want to work through some pros and cons. I'd printed out the pros and cons thing on your sheet, but realized when I printed it, there was no way you're writing anything in those boxes. But anyway, let me go through some pros and cons of expository preaching. The first pro, the text becomes the hero. We just let the word of God do what it's supposed to do. Cut through bone and marrow and get to the core of people's innermost beings. Expository preaching is fairly easy to follow along because you're not bouncing all over the show. You're just going through with real kind of formulaic structure. Mm-hmm. Expository preaching puts the authority on the text and not the teacher. So yeah, I might have done the exegesis work, the kind of groundwork and the study and stuff to be able to bring this to life a little bit. Mm-hmm. But the hero is the word of God, and it's got nothing to do with me really or what I'm doing. It's just I'm just kind of presenting you this meal and telling you to enjoy it. And it also helps people to interpret scripture in their own personal study. So when we start to unpack some scriptures and we perhaps begin to show some of the depths of meaning behind the text, it will then help them in their own personal study to perhaps remember, this kind of nugget of information came out. Can I apply that to what I'm reading in this morning's devotional or whatever it might be. So it can help people in their personal study. And then the other pro is that it doesn't allow the preacher to avoid difficult texts and issues. So it allows us the chance to really dig into some stuff that can be a bit contentious or a bit awkward or maybe a bit challenging. And so that can be kind of a meaty thing for us as preachers and communicators to get into. But then I've also put that in the con column, that we can't get away with not digging into the challenging subjects, because actually sometimes we might preach through a passage of scripture but get to a verse that's a little bit and go, I'll just miss that one and get to the next verse so we can get onto the stuff that's a bit lighter and fluffier. But actually when we're doing true expository preaching and we're going verse by verse, when we get to that one that's a bit awkward, we should still be digging into it, because God's put it there for a reason. He's got something to say through it, so don't just skip over it, but actually spend some time in there. Challenge yourself if you need to, so that you can understand it. And the other con that I've written is that without practical application, so this comes back to the question of, so what? Without that practical application, it can become a bit boring, particularly for unchurched people. If you're going through a passage of scripture, or if you're doing a book over like 10 weeks, and every week you're just going verse by verse, and it can be great for people who love the Bible and love the Word of God, but for unchurched people it can be a bit like, oh, this is really weighty. It's like, you know, it's challenging. And so we really need to find that balance of, okay, we're going to get into the depths of the Word of God, but also I'm going to show you how you can apply it, so that when you leave this place, or when we finish this conversation, you'll be able to answer the question, so what? What does that mean for me? Why do I care that all that stuff happened? What do I do with that? So how do we do it? We look at a text, we study and unpack the text, and then we help people to apply the text. So the second style of preaching that I want to just unpack is topical preaching. And so instead of looking at a book or a passage of scripture, this is where we just take a specific theme and then we pull in multiple scriptures from throughout the Bible to support the theme that we are talking about. Has anyone got any examples of themes we could preach on? Love? Great. Think how many verses in the Bible are just about love?
Forgiveness.
I've no doubt it would. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, are we ready for Jesus? Good theme. Sorry, David, I missed what you said. Creation, yeah. I mean, there's myriad things. Literally pick a word and you can preach about it. And you can pull in verses to support what it is that you're going to say on a particular theme. And so it's kind of like a research paper where you go, okay, here's a thesis, and then here's all the supporting evidence for that thesis. And we're pulling in scriptures kind of left, right, and centre and presenting it as a feast for the listeners to, you know, delight upon, hopefully, in the way we've presented it. But the kind of danger is that for the sake of time, so if I'm doing a 30-minute preach on a Sunday and I'm doing it from a topic and I'm pulling in, like, I don't know, 10 scriptures to support this theme, that what we don't do, and the difference to expository preaching, is that we don't go into the depths of the kind of meat behind the scriptures. So I can come to you and go, right, we're talking about love. Here's 10 verses that show you we should love. But what I've not done is delved into, you know, the three main Greek terms for love, or four main Greek terms for love. Or I've not kind of really delved into all of that stuff. And so there's kind of like a real balance to be had. And it's not to say that one style of preaching is better than another. I mean, you do find in reality that the majority of kind of evangelical Pentecostal preaching that you hear on YouTube or wherever is topical. It's kind of lighthearted, it's easy, it's fun, maybe, and that's kind of a lot of preaching, but real kind of, you know, Bible teaching, You know, if you ask someone who's been going to church for a long time, they want expository preaching. I want something I can really get my teeth into. I don't want to feel like you've just tickled my toes. I want to feel like I've had a full meal and I'm going away stuffed to the brim. And so there really is a serious balance in the two types of teaching. But even with topical teaching, when we are just pulling in multiple verses and kind of presenting this theme to the church or to the conversation we're having, we still need to do the exegesis to prepare for that. So whilst we might not be sharing the depths of all these verses, we still need to have the understanding of the depths of the verses so that we can then deliver it with passion and authority. Because if we're just going, oh, I think this one works, and I think this one works, then we won't be confident in it. But if we've done the research, even if we're not sharing that with everyone, we'll be able to preach in more confidence. So let me just give you some pros and cons for topical preaching. Pros. It's the ability to trace a theme through multiple books of the Bible, which shows consistency of Scripture. So I think that's really good that we can say love, for example, and I can show you something from every book in the Bible that shows the importance of why we should love our neighbor. And we can take any theme and we can kind of knit it together with the whole of Scripture to show people that it's consistent throughout. Topical preaching, secondly, is great for seasons, for days of celebration, Father's Day, Christmas, Easter. Topics and themes are good for those kind of services, a one-off. Okay, I'm just going to preach about, you know, something fun and lighthearted or whatever it might be. And then the third one that I've written down is that it helps unchurched people make clear connections about the Bible's relevance today. So topical preaching can be a bit more lighthearted and a bit easier to digest. And then it really emphasizes the kind of practical stuff. Whereas with exegesis, it's more, you really have to work to get the practical application. So there's some real balance. The cons for topical preaching, it can become opinion-based rather than scripture-based. So if you take a theme and you begin to preach around a theme, there's a danger that you're putting your own self into it rather than letting the text be the hero. And there's also a danger that we begin to use scriptures out of context. And that's a real danger. And that's where the study comes into it. So that you can go, okay, I've done my concordance check and I've found forgiveness is my theme. So I've found this passage here that says the word forgiveness. So I'm going to put that into my preach. But actually, if you don't understand the why and the context and the culture of this verse you've pulled in, it might have nothing to do with what it is that you're preaching. And so we really need to do our personal study so that even if we're not sharing it, we're not leading people down the wrong path, taking things out of context. I'm tempted at some point in the future to do a preaching series on verses that have been taken out of context. Because there are so many verses, myself included, that people use out of context. It's kind of funny. And you just kind of accept that, oh, well, that's just what we say in that moment, even though we know it doesn't really mean that, but we say it because it feels good. And so I think that could be kind of a fun series to do. But absolutely. Yeah, that's another good series. No. No, it's totally the opposite of what the Bible teaches. Yeah, love of money. That's it. So there's, yeah. That's it.
You could set things straight for everybody, couldn't you? Because sometimes people will just take it as wrong.
Yeah.
I've heard it so much, it wasn't true.
That's it, absolutely. There's a real danger there, so that might be fun. Maybe one day. And then the last con that I've written down, and we've talked about it already, is that it can restrict the depth of a message because we're not allowing ourselves the time to really explore with the hearers about the depths behind a verse. We're just kind of skirting over. Here's my theme, here's a few verses. I'm not going to dig into the depths behind it. So it's a bit kind of surface level when it comes to topical preaching. So how do we do it? We choose a topic, we research relevant scriptures, we dig into them a little bit further, and then we bring them together in a logical manner with some practical application. So that's the whistle-stop tour through those two styles of preaching. Now, because I've gone on for time, you've got out of the final exercise. However, that means it will become homework. So that's fun. So what we were going to do is make a start on the final few weeks by picking a verse or a passage of scripture or picking a theme and beginning to create a bit of a mind map around that thing. So there's two types of preaching, topical and expository. On your way out, there are two cups. Let me make sure I've got the right one for you. If you would like to do a topical preach, you choose from the grey cup. If you'd like to do an expository preach, choose from the black cup. Now, they're just ideas. You don't need to do that. You can pick your own theme. You can pick your own passage. That's absolutely fine. But if you want some inspiration, feel free to help yourself. I've written it on there, so you can just look in. You don't have to remember it. I've written it down, so you don't have to remember it. I mean, obviously, as we go through the course, we'll dig into kind of the how do you formulate a message and what does that look like. But there's no harm in spending some time with God now, asking him, what do you want me to talk about? Yeah? And maybe just begin to let that ruminate and write down some notes and maybe some inspiration that you receive over the next few weeks about that theme or that scripture. And the good thing is that if you pick something today, 3 weeks down the line, you don't like it, well, that's fine. Start again. You don't have to tell us until you stand up at the front and let us know what you're going to preach. But feel free to take something if you want a bit of inspiration. But what I didn't say, and I should have said at the end of the here's two different styles of preaching, is I would say the best style of preaching is a bit of a blend of the two, that actually we get a bit of depth to it. And when we've got a topic and a theme, it helps bring a bit of focus and it helps with the practical application. So it might be that if you pick an expository verse, that you can then go, okay, well, the theme from this verse is X, and so I'm going to preach on that theme. I'll focus on this verse, but I might pull in a couple of scriptures that also support this theme. But we'll get into the hows and whys and stuff as we go throughout the course.